The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If they show their ugly head in our area, we'll send them to hell. And I think the United States need to get busy. And they need to bomb them. They need to take them out. I would like for them to hit them so hard and so often that every time they hear a propeller on a plane or a jet aircraft engine, that they urinate down both legs. When you do that, then you've accomplished a lot. We need to shut them off. We need to kill them.
Only the rednecks can save America. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let me repeat it in case you didn't write it down. You can send it right to Eric Holder. Only the rednecks can save America. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Here we are facing the worst brand of human scum, if you even want to call them human, that the planet has ever seen. The worst brand of human scum the planet has ever seen. And what we have is a tepid response from the White House. From neutron bombs to neutered bombs in one administration. Meanwhile, the Honduran flu is spreading through our schools. That's right. Remember they used to call it the Asian flu? You were allowed to say where it came from? When you were in high school, maybe, you're still going, oh, yeah, well, it was brought in from Asia. Well, now we have the Honduran flu spreading through our schools because of the geniuses in the White House. The Honduran flu is here. Why do I say that I know for sure, with a high degree of certainty, that the outbreaks of this virus are directly related to the unaccompanied children that Obama has dumped all over America? Well, the only way to tell for sure is to cultivate, culture the virus, and see if you can trace it back to Honduras or Nicaragua where it's endemic. But the fakers inside the health departments of America refuse to even do the basics of public health. But let me say this to you who are skeptical of the fact that this president has committed a crime against our children. You say, well, wait a minute, Michael. We can't be sure that it's the children, the unaccompanied children from Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador that are bringing this virus across America, can we? You say, well, why didn't we see regional outbreaks of this virus in the border states where the kids were? Well, let me give you a simple answer. And let me remind you of something else. I'm not just a talk show host. I earned my PhD in epidemiology and human nutrition from the great University of California at Berkeley. And let me tell you the answer to that question, because there's not a public health official in America who will dare tell you a scintilla of the truth anymore. Their own lock, stock, and barrel, like prostitutes in a bordello. The answer is very simple. The reason you did not see regional outbreaks of this virus in the border states when these children were being kept there is because these children were not kept in school. They were hidden on military bases in large rooms. And then Team Obama shipped them all over the nation. And these viral outbreaks began after the illegals were placed in local schools. And let me remind you of something else from Dr. Michael Savage. All the people on the military bases knew these children were sick. Did you know that? Did you know that all of the military personnel and contractors who work with these unaccompanied minors were forced to sign a document which said they would not disclose any information or face jail time? That's your president. That's Team Obama that doesn't like people knowing what he's doing to America. Vaccine-associated paralytic poliomyelitis is next. Did you know about that? Poliomyelitis might be next. Oh, yes, it was found in an immigrant child with severe combined immunodeficiency syndrome in Texas in 2013. And today on the Savage Nation, amongst other things, I'm going to help you connect the dots on EVD68, which is spreading amongst our school children. That's the enterovirus, in case you don't know what I'm talking about. Meanwhile, in New York City, the Democrats are seeking citizen rights for illegal immigrants. You heard me. New York Post, Dateline today on the Savage Nation. Illegal aliens in New York could score billions in Medicaid and college tuition money, along with driver's licenses, voting rights, and even the ability to run for office if Democrats, the new brown shirts, win control of the state Senate in November, the New York Post has learned. They put forth a little-known bill called New York is Home. And what you don't know is it's being run by a group of thugs, anti-white thugs. And why do I say that? Am I trying to be incendiary? No, because we're living in times where the incendiaries are already operating in America. Let me explain something to you. There is a group in New York that will make your hair stand up. There is a group entitled, I wish I could find their name, it's not jumping out at me. Here it is. The sponsor of this bill to give illegals all of these rights is a man named Kamara. And he's chairman of the New York State Black, Latino, and Asian Caucus. Can you believe you would awaken in America in the year 2014, and there'd be such a racist coalition, a Black, Latino, and Asian Caucus that excludes who? Caucasians? So the enemy of what is running who? Did you hear what I just said to you? How do you feel about that? New York Democrats seek citizen rights for illegal immigrants. Now, the state conservative party chairman, Mike Long, said, this is astounding. This undermines our nation's immigration laws. This is absolutely amnesty. It disregards the laws of the United States. But that didn't stop Mayor Bill de Nicaragua de Blasio pushing through such similar laws, which created a municipal ID card that provides many, many, many benefits to non-citizens. And I am an immigrant son. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, a British female jihadist, medic, is seen pictured holding a severed head. A 21-year-old vermin who was a British medical student before fleeing to Syria has posted an image on Twitter of herself holding up a cut-off head. In the picture, which has since been taken down from the site, this human vermin can be seen in her white medical coat and full burqa, clearly holding up the head as children look on in the background. She wrote alongside the image, dream job, terrorist doc, followed by love hearts and smiley faces. Did you hear what I just said to you? She considers herself a female soldier of God. She is a devout Muslim. She's holding up a severed head. She was living in England on welfare and went to medical school. Here's what someone wrote when they saw the article. So, considering Cameron says that ISIS and all these Muslim nutters aren't Muslims and don't represent it, can we then please start having him and all the other hangers-on start all the conference with, these people aren't British and do not represent the British people in any way? But of course they won't do it. They want to ram it down our throats that these vermin once lived in England and undermine the entire notion of being British. Did you hear what I just say? Look up British in a dictionary, he wrote, and you no longer see a white family sitting down to a cup of tea at a picnic. Now it's an Arab woman with a burqa on holding a severed head while screaming hatred to the West. How progressive, Mr. and Mrs. Liberal. And speaking of liberals, there's no bigger liberals than those at the Old York Times. As you well know, it's the mainstay of the mental disorder called liberalism. Today, there's an article by Roger Cohen entitled The Great Unraveling about the ruination spreading throughout the world, the ruination that Roger Cohen finally has awakened to. And in this lament that Roger Cohen of the New York Times writes, this long lament about how the world is falling apart, there's not one mention of the fact that he and his fellow travelers were those who pushed Obama down our throats. Now you say, can you really blame Obama for the world falling apart? Yes. Yes. He frayed the fabric of society. He's frayed democracy itself. He has attacked the institutions of democracy themselves. He has given this nation pestilence and disease, and he's only just begun. That's my opinion, and it's one man's opinion. I haven't even touched on Ebola. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that there's a public health rationale for sending U.S. military personnel to the heart of the Ebola outbreak, which is spreading like a plague, because it is a plague, to take U.S. troops and put them not only in harm's way, but guarantee that they'll bring the virus back to America? Can you tell me this is by accident? Can you actually tell me that despite the fact that some military personnel are saying, wait a minute, why are you doing this? Obama and the other clowns in the Defense Department are still going to send U.S. troops to Africa to combat Ebola? This makes no sense from any point of view. I was watching a TV show the other night, last night, about U.S. generals going back to really great American generals, Colin Powell, Arnold General Schwarzkopf. Remember him? McChrystal, I'm trying to recall some of the names, and I don't mean to disrespect any of the generals who were mentioned, who were not great generals. They were, with the exception of one who I take exception to, and that's General Wesley Clark. He became a marionette of Bill Clinton. I have no respect for Wesley Clark whatsoever. He's another John Kerry, a politician, never really a general to me. But the others, I would do anything they wished to do. Anything. They're great men. But where are they? Where are the great generals of today? We don't know who they are. Do they exist anymore? Well, we had some really good ones right after Benghazi. Obama threw them out of the military. Four of them. I name them all in the coming Civil War. Yes, that's right. I have the names of the generals he threw out after the Benghazi debacle. That's right. They're all named there. The phone number today is 855-400-7282. And I will tell you this. The women are frightened. The women of America are frightened because of the spinelessness and the treachery of this administration and every one of the parties that works for this president of ours. The women are frightened because they see these psychotic serial murderers who are very religious Muslims. Make no mistake about it. I keep hearing that they're not Muslims. I didn't say all Muslims are terrorists, did I? But it's pretty sure that all these jihadis are Muslims. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, let's stop mincing words here. The women are frightened in America. They're frightened because they're counting on the men to protect them. And there are no men to protect them. Oh, there are men who are tough enough to go over there and gut them. There are men tough enough to go over there and drop the bombs necessary to wipe them off the planet and make sure they never return. But they're not working in this government. They've been expunged from this government. They've been deleted from this government. They've been whited out from this government. You get the picture? It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Only the rednecks can save America. Welcome to the Savage Nation. These punk panty wastes are destroying this country, spreading infection, spreading liberalism, spreading weakness, spreading fear, spreading anxiety, spreading neurosis. God bless America. Where are the men? They've been expunged, whited out, deleted, destroyed, pushed out by Obama. This impotent little war he's fighting against the most disgusting vermin this planet has seen since Hitler. What has to happen? What exactly has to happen for you, the moron out there, to wake up? These female jihadists holding up severed heads in front of little Muslim children? Are you people crazy? Did you know that some of these Muslim women from England are running brothels where captured Yazidi women are kept as sex slaves for the jihadi scum? Did you know that it's estimated that up to 3,000 of these poor women called Yazidis have been captured by the vermin called ISIS, according to the International Center for the Study of Radicalization at King's College London? Did you know any of this? No, you don't know any of this. You're more interested in whether this one dropped her panties on Sunset Boulevard. You're interested in whether that moron who dropped out of high school has a hit song. Well, it's only Monday. I got to control myself. But I stand by my words. We've gone from neutron bombs to neutered bombs in one administration. Meanwhile, the Honduran flu is being disseminated throughout America. Only the rednecks can save America. You heard the sheriff at the beginning of the show. You ought to play that soundbite again, Robert. Just play the sheriff alone without the music. You got to listen to the Texas sheriff on the ISIS fighters who are crossing the border. They're finding Qurans at the border.
If they show their ugly head in our area, we'll send them to hell. And I think the United States need to get busy. And they need to bomb them. They need to take them out. I would like for them to hit them so hard and so often that every time they hear a propeller on a plane or a jet aircraft engine that they urinate down both legs. When you do that, then you've accomplished a lot. We need to shut them off. We need to kill them.
And so Obama launches 134, maybe 184 strikes. Everyone in the military knows that that's an impotent gesture. It's like bombing an aspirin factory. Sure, you may have blown up a Toyota truck here and there, but you're not really at war. You're nothing. It's a show. It's just an act like everything else he does. The fact of the matter is they're on the move, and they intend to cut your head off if they could. Let me put it to you this way. If your friends in ISIS got control of this nation, what do you think they would do to you? You say, ah, come on, they'll never come here. We're too far away. They can't come here. They're here already. According to our own government, they're here. It's not my alarmism. It's not my extremism.
Your own government. The minions of Obama have told you that they're here and they can't control it. They've been busy stuffing their own pockets and rewarding their own cronies. They could care less about terrorism. It's not real to them. The only thing real to Obama is the golf tee. That's all that matters to him. And see, well, where's the other side? There is no other side. It's one government. The government media complex, the Democrats, the Republicrats. I've been at it for 20 years. It's never been this bad. The world is falling apart. Ebola, the virus, the Honduran flu, terrorism, nations breaking up because of him. Yes, one man could destroy a nation. You don't believe that, but you better believe that. You better believe that. WMAL, first call of the day. Kurt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Doctor. That was probably the most hard-hitting, most truthful 15 minutes of your opening monologue I've ever heard. This is exactly what everyone needs to be screaming in this country. And where have the real men gone? There is no more real men to stand up against this.
Well, no, they are. No, don't get me wrong, Kurt. They're here. They're in the military, but they're down the chain of command. They're across America. Look at the cops in America. I'm not talking about the distorted fake cops that they shoved into every department. I'm talking about the real men. I'm not talking about the fakers that can't lift the hose, that they turn into firemen. I'm talking about the real men. They're as tough as they've ever been. They're as tough as nails. They could rip their hearts out with their hands if they wanted to. They could tear their disgusting vermin hearts out with their own hands. They could rip their larynxes out if only they had a leader. All they're waiting for is a leader. They need someone to lead them into combat. Instead, they're told that they're racist if they even say what they know is going on. They see their country disintegrating in front of their eyes with these panty-waist communist scum in every city of America, telling us we have to kiss the illegal alien that's infected with the virus. Kiss them and welcome them or you're a racist. And I've just gotten started. If you like what you heard so far, get ready because more is coming. I'm on fire.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Islam is a religion of peace. They are not Muslims, they are monsters. They make no secret of their desire to do as much harm, not just
again,
in the Middle East.
The propagandists don't stop. Every speech, must they tell us Islam is a religion of peace? Is that a requirement? Must they continue to repeat the homily of the liberals that Islam is a religion of peace? At the same time we see heads being cut off, women being sold into slavery and prostitution? No, it's a religion of peace. Well, as I said to you, and I'll repeat it again, it's certainly true that not all Muslims are terrorists. We accept that. But it's true that all these terrorists are Muslims. Why must we be beaten up every day with this political garbage that got us in this place to begin with? You know why Christians fear Obama marks the end of days, don't you? Because they read the Bible. They read the Bible, and they read Mark 13. They read about the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end times. Oh, it's laughable to those of you who watch Bill Maher. I get it. The pimp for Nancy Pelosi. He may as well wear a big mustache and an outfit of the 1940s with a striped suit. He is nothing but a procurer of the house of prostitution known as the Democrat Party. They have no audience, those shows. But HBO throws tons of money at them. They play it around the clock. It's a vehicle for Obama, Pelosi, any one of the left-wingers, the government media complex. And when have you last seen a conservative laugh-a-thon on HBO? When have you last seen a conservative in a theater with a packed house with people screaming and cheering with American flags? Answer, never. Never. It's owned by the wonderful folks in Hollywood who have shown us nothing about the faces of terrorism, virtually nothing. Destruction of the temple and the signs of the end times. The very same people who crucified Jesus. I'm not finishing that sentence because you can finish it for yourself. You see, back in the days of Jesus, there was a Sanhedrin in the temple. I'm a bit of a biblical scholar. I know a little bit about that subject. The Sanhedrin was a court, sort of the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. And they voted whether to crucify Jesus. And it was, I think it was 7-5, or something along those lines. I don't know the exact numbers, but there were those who said, no, don't crucify him. He's an honest man. But those who worked for the Romans, those who worked for the government, equivalent to those in the government media complex of today, you know, You know the types I'm talking about, the ones who run a laugh-a-thon around the clock. I really got angry last week when I saw Jerry Seinfeld. I didn't know he was that low. I know he was another high school dropout who made $1 billion. I get it. Him and Larry David. You know, the kind of kids who went to the High School of Performing Art because they couldn't make it academically. And they're very clever and they're very funny. But I didn't know that they're that stupid. I had no idea that they're that vacuous. You'd think the guy makes $1 billion on a laughing show, a show with comedy, he'd know something about what's going on around them. But like Obama, they live in a bubble. They laugh at each other's jokes. They slap each other on the back, whatever. Do we really need them in this war? We do need them. During World War II, we needed Hollywood. And we had them. We don't have them now. They're on the other side. Right now, they're on the other playing for the other side by not showing who the enemy really is. They may as well be working for ISIS. Hollywood may as well be a propaganda arm of ISIS because they're not showing us who ISIS really is. Because if we lived in a real wartime, which we are in, the president would meet with the head of the Hollywood studios. He'd ask him to put out 5 movies a year showing the true face of terrorism, the true face of evil, the true face of evil Islam. You heard me. The true face of the enemy. Because otherwise we're finished. It's a slow war of attrition and they're winning it. There's a saying in Arabic that you can kill an enemy with 1,000 slashes. And I've told you this several times over the last 20 years. They don't have to hit us with one big bomb that takes this country down. They almost did, by the way. All they have to do is hit us with 1,000 slashes and we'll bleed to death. You tell me we're not bleeding from more than 1,000,000 slashes that they've inflicted upon us, that they inflict upon us every day. Every time your grandmother is strip searched at an airport, they have slashed you by humiliating her. That's right, you heard me. Every time a cop knows who the bad guy is and can't stop him with a gun bulging in his pocket, they have won with another slash to the heart of the nation. So I get up every day quite motivated. I'm very motivated. I am so motivated that I have a bucket of cold water on the table and a can of carbon dioxide next to me, a spray can, just in case my head catches fire. I see Ebola spreading like the plague it is, and I see the morons in this government sending American troops to Africa to contain Ebola when it can't be contained. And what about the fact that this infection, known as Ebola, doesn't even show itself for a number of days, and when our troops come back, they can just as casually spread it man to man throughout the entire military and throughout the nation. That doesn't bother you, Mr. Cohen? Of the New York Times. You have no one to blame for that one. Oh, you say it's all falling apart, but you don't know who to blame. No, you wouldn't know who to blame. Blame yourself, Cohen. Blame yourself, Friedman. You're the ones who gave us this government. We knew who they were, but you cheered them on. You thought Johnny was coming marching home again. No, Johnny wasn't coming marching home again. It was Jihad marching home again. From Johnny came marching home again to Jihad came marching home again in one administration. How's that for a turn of phrase? So I was watching the show last night of the generals, great generals, McChrystal, Petraeus, Schwarzkopf, some of the others, and whose names I forget, and I don't mean to disrespect them. Some of these men are second and third generation American military. Their fathers were generals. They were the role models for these men. And I was watching the prelude, the countdown to Desert Storm. And they were interviewing Schwarzkopf. God, do we need him now instead of Obama's servants in the military. Schwarzkopf said, well, he asked for 350,000 troops were sent to get Saddam out of Kuwait, et cetera, to suppress Iraq, which was seen as a threat. And he said he put the plans together. He was getting the materiel ready to be sent over there, the tanks, all of the associated military equipment. And the troops, and he said he asked for another 250,000 troops. He wanted 600,000 troops, and they asked him why he wanted more. He said, because my objective was to go there, kill them, crush them, and destroy them, not to placate them and not to play games. Remember Schwarzkopf? Remember those pictures from Desert Storm? Why has Obama been so reluctant to do that? ISIS is worse than Saddam. Yeah, they're worse than Saddam. They're more vicious than Saddam. After all, we were told Saddam had rape chambers. Well, they have rape chambers, but only worse. We were told that Saddam used chemical weapons. Well, these people will use an atomic bomb on your child's school if they could. But we're doing very little to stop them. Ebola, the virus, the Honduran flu, as I call it. The Honduran flu, say you heard it first on the Savage Nation. Say you heard it first on the Savage Nation. I see terrible things ahead. People keep saying to me, how do you think this ends? Where does it go? Do we win? Do the good guys win? Does a guy come along in a white hat and save us? Is there a white horse out there? I don't know. I'm not God. I know Christians and the Christian Bible fears that Obama marks the end of days. Jesus in 1A of Mark 13 says Jesus was leaving the temple. One of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. And Jesus said, do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Well, that already happened on 9/11. We got hit once and we learned nothing. Instead, we brought more of their fellow travelers into America under asylum. And we put more of their explainers and apologizers into the intelligence agencies, into the military, into the government itself. Not less of them. They asked Jesus, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, he said, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. I don't want to get too religious, but he wrote, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Well, here we are. Here we are. It's a religious war. We're in it. My only fear and my worst fear is that Obama will turn it first into a civil war in America to suppress those of us who know what's going on. Did you hear what I said? You know, I got to take a little time out and move. Give me 20 seconds to tell you something. I have put myself on the line for you, my listener. And I put myself in the front of the line of fire right now with this book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm way out there. You know who this government is, and you know what they're capable of, and you know what they're doing to every conservative group they can get their stinking little sweaty hands on. You know what they're doing. And this is only the beginning. I need you, as my troops, to follow me. I need you to follow me. I need you to buy my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I need you to carry the book alone, the title alone. The title is so incendiary that it says it all. You know, sometimes a title comes along every few decades or every few years that's so powerful that it changes the course of history. I can name five of them that come to mind. And actually, my mind just blanked right now. I can't remember them. But there were books that changed our thinking on so many things. I'll give you an example. Rachel Carson's The Silent Spring. That book told us all about the dangers of certain pesticides and destroying the ecosystem. It changed our whole view of ecology, environmentalism, gave rise to the environmental movement. For better or for worse, nobody wants a polluted earth, so let's not say they were all wrong. Let's not argue over the benefits of DDT. I know all about it. But the point I'm making is that was a title, The Silent Spring, that changed the course of human history. There have been others. There are many others. Not many others, some others. My feeling is Stop the Coming Civil War will be such a book. But it can only be such if you buy it and you carry it and put it on your desk at work. But you have to have the guts to follow me. If I'm willing to put myself out like this for you, then you've got to be willing to put yourself out for you, for yourself in America. You put it on the desk at work, and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's see who tells you to put the book away that it's not American. Let's see who tells you you can't have that book here. Let's see who tells you that such books are no good. Let's see what happens when these books appear all around America. There are so many questions and so many answers, but we don't have the right people running things. No, sir, only the rednecks can save America. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So, where is Obama on this war against extremists? We don't know. He gave a speech and he disappeared again. He went out and did fundraising. Once again, did fundraising. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Come on, don't ask me such questions. Okay. Stop it. If anyone ever asks me that again, I hang up on them. That is so basic, I'm hanging up. He's off the air. I'm not in the mood to placate callers today. I'm sorry. What do you mean? Can you hear me? What is this, like high school radio? Come in, Berlin? Can you hear me? You're on the other side. You got a tin can. Of course I can hear you. It's a talk show. It's a national talk show. What do you mean, can I hear you? Hello, can you hear me? You want to come for a knish with me at Yoni Schimmel? I can't take it anymore. I don't think I want to talk to anybody today and give out free books. I don't know if I want to do it at all. I'm agitated. I'm agitated by the spread of disease, the spread of terrorism, and the lack of a forceful, manly, testosterone-driven response. Nothing. It's like a nation of sleepwalkers. The women are scared. The women are screaming, bomb them, kill them, murder them, destroy them. I don't care about collateral damage. Wipe them off the planet. Annihilate them, atomize them with their wives and children. They're all killers anyway. But no, instead we're here, we're going to contain them. Contain and control. So they want a little prairie fire burning at a slow pace. What, for the contractors? What's the reason for that? You can mark my words, there are going to be boots on the ground. You can mark my words. There are going to be boots on the ground. They're there already, only you're not being told about it. Because they know the danger we're in. They just don't want to tell you. They want to keep you nice and asleep. You know, yesterday was a very special day for me. You know, it wasn't about my dog, Teddy, who's very special to me. It was about my grandchild. She lives out of state. I don't see her much. And first of all, I got to tell you something. I never thought I'd live to have a grandchild. I always dreamed of it. When I was young, and I told you the story, I come from a very short-lived line of men. I never thought I'd go past the age of 40. I really didn't think I'd live past 40. I just figured, okay, it was in the cards. You know, do what you can. Live your life. Do as much as you can. You know, live the life because you're not going past 40, 45. I had that fear because of early deaths in the family. And one of the things, I had many goals. Not many, I had some goals. One of my goals was to be a famous author. I am. Check that on the bucket list. Another thing was to earn my PhD from a great university. Check that off, 1978. It wasn't given to me as an honorary degree for a gift to an Islamic center. Another goal, and I said I'll never reach it, is to see a grandchild. I never thought I'd see it because I just didn't think I would. Well, she was born a year ago, and I spent a couple of hours playing with her and her parents yesterday. Well, I'll remain unnamed. I don't want to talk about personal things beyond the generalities because of all the evil out there. But there is some magic that has to be expressed when you see the eyes of a grandchild and you see your own eyes looking back at you with innocence and wonderment. And you see the child crawling and playing and you say, what kind of world is this that people known as Islamic terrorists could murder them? Murder them. They're killing children like this because they're not Muslims. And then they're killing children like this who are Muslims. What kind of people are these? Where did they come from? You have to look at the eyes of your own child or a grandchild to truly understand what I'm saying to you. I don't mean you can't be a full human being without having a child or a grandchild. I didn't say that. I said something quite different. Because the instincts of protection that click in when you have your first child, any man will tell you how strong they are. Women know that. Women are different than men in that regard. They know it early on, but men don't know it. Men are stupid, basically, when it comes to protecting others. They have good instincts, but they don't think about it. They don't think about it until they have a child. Then they think about it. All they got to do is go to that ward when the child's being born, and they'll know what to do. And there are millions and millions and millions of American men who would like to see the enemy wiped off the planet, atomized with a nuclear weapon. Break. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON.
It is the Savage Nation. We have such little time. We'll go to KSFO in San Francisco. Eve, make it quick. We have very little time.
I just wondered why you want to instill fear in people.
I will answer it very simply, Eve. Am I instilling fear or am I instilling vigilance?
Do you know
the difference between fear and vigilance, Eve?
Yeah, revolution and who it belongs to.
No, I asked you, do you know the difference between fear and vigilance? That's what I ask you, Eve. In other words, if you see a bad guy coming down the street, what should you do? Say that they're not a bad guy? What should you do? Go up and kiss them on the lips? Or should you arm yourself and get ready for the attack, Eve? Get your head out of the LSD, Eve. The flower power days are over, Eve. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Michael Savage.
Either they're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. Most people who are legitimate and sane don't go into politics.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If they show their ugly head in our area, we'll send them to hell. And I think the United States need to get busy. And they need to bomb them. They need to take them out. I would like for them to hit them so hard and so often that every time they hear a propeller on a plane or a jet aircraft engine, that they urinate down both legs. When you do that, then you've accomplished a lot. We need to shut them off. We need to kill them.
We don't make no party.
Only the rednecks can save America. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We've gone from neutron bombs to neutered bombs in one administration. Meanwhile, the Honduran flu has been brought in by Obama through his unaccompanied children. And not one public health official in America, if they even know the truth, will dare say the truth. Not one. You know, I grew up during the Cold War. And I was told how evil the Soviet Empire was, and evil it was. I read Solzhenitsyn's books, especially the Gulag Archipelago. I know what they did with intelligentsia, the intelligentsia who opposed Stalin and the others in the Soviet times. I know how they were first smeared, then arrested. First smeared, blacklisted, then arrested, and put into re-education camps. I know about the ex-Soviet Union. I also know that there was a complicit press. They had two state-run newspapers, Pravda and Izvestia. And they were just tools of the government. Now I wake up in America and I see, I know we've had propaganda, we know about mainstream media in the, you know, in the pocket of Obama, we know that. 1998, I gave the great speech at the Commonwealth Club, Beware the Government Media Complex. This is nothing new. But the extreme to which it has developed is something new. Why? What woke me up to how bad it really is that we've now approached, if not exceeded, the Soviet era in America? Here we have a virus that's endemic in Central America that is appearing as a mystery virus in our schools, and not one public health official will dare say it's endemic in the countries where the unaccompanied children came from. I have not heard it yet. Virtually no network is covering it. Fox is touching on it, but ever so lightly, because they're pro-immigration. They're pro-illegal immigration at that, by the way. I don't blame the people on Fox News for that. That comes from the top down. And that's because Mr. Murdoch must make certain that his political irons are in the right fires. He must make certain at all times, because he's a very, very important, powerful man. Nevertheless, the truth is begging to be told. Now you have Ebola raging out of control, where legitimate epidemiologists are saying it's you can't contain it, cannot contain it, cannot be controlled. They said 5 million people will have to die from the Ebola virus before it burns itself out. By the way, that's the natural course of history, medical history, for epidemics, in case you want to understand a little bit about it. Most epidemics will burn themselves out, but they leave a large swath of dead people. You say, well, that's crazy. I mean, we should just let them die. I don't know whether we should just let them die, but I know that bringing American troops to Africa, the hot zone, is the most insane thing I've ever heard of in my life. It's about as insane as bringing in children infected with respiratory illnesses and TB into our schools. But since there's no media to talk about it, there's no trial for those who did this to us. This would be a trial. In any sane time, whoever did this to us would be tried for a crime against humanity. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, look, listen to me carefully. At the top of the hour, my first hour was as hot as it gets. It's as hot as I've been in years. And I had to cool down a little bit. I can't burn like that for 15 hours this week, because there'll be nothing left of me. So all I'm going to do now is tell you the stories and play you the sound, and we'll see what happens. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Islam is a religion of peace. The children who are coming to America are coming here to work. America is a nation of immigrants. Yeah, you've heard it all, haven't you? WBAP, Kenny, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. Every time I listen to you, Michael Savage, my testosterone levels go way up. Because if I listen to anybody else, the liberal press, they're telling me to dumb down, to not try so hard, to do...
Yeah, they're telling you to bite your tongue, what constitution, Islam is a religion of peace, the poor children who are coming here to work. I get it.
If you believe that, then I got some land in Louisiana I'm going to sell you.
No, I wouldn't mind buying Louisiana land. Sounds like a good investment. No, I hear you. I'm glad your testosterone goes up when you listen to the show, because mine goes down as I deliver the show. It is definitely getting get rid of some of the testosterone on the show. Princeton's Robert George says victory against ISIS means they're destroyed like Adolf Hitler's SS. Princeton's McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence told Breitbart News that American victory against ISIS means that ISIS must be destroyed as Adolf Hitler's Schutzstaffel SS forces were. He said, let me tell you what victory looks like. ISIS is decimated, is left in precisely the shape in which we left Hitler's allegedly invincible SS in 1945. Those of its leaders who were not sent to their eternal reward in the fighting are hunted down and tried for crimes against humanity. Displaced Christians and other victims of ISIS barbarism are returned to their lands and homes to live in peace and security. That is what victory looks like. That was in response to Obama's speech last week, during which our great leader never used the word victory, never articulated what the end of this war might look like. And that is why America is frightened. Now you say, well, what can we do about it? Well, you can do a lot about it. Don't say you can't do anything about it. The Democrat Party is shaking to its boots. That's where they're going to their procurers in the media, like Bill Maher right now, where they have laughing stocks like Nancy Pelosi saying things such as civilization will come to an end if Republicans take over. You got to listen to this soundbite. You're not going to believe it. Here is Nancy Pelosi on the procurer Bill Maher's show. As you got to understand who Bill Maher is. Bill Maher is a nothing. Bill Maher has no audience. Bill Maher's audience consists of HBO executives who pay him a fortune to be a jester for the administration. Listen to Nancy Pelosi, who feels safe enough to go on the jester show. Listen.
Renewable energy.
It would be very important for the Democrats to retain control of the Senate. Civilization as we know it today would be in jeopardy if the Republicans win the Senate.
Civilization as we know it would be in jeopardy if the Republicans win. You mean the civilization that Obama has taken apart? Is that what you mean? Which civilization are you talking about, Nancy? WABC Mendel, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I've tried many times to talk to you about the end times from Jewish sources. And when you today use Christian sources, when the Jewish people are already hated all over the globe, just to inflame our enemies against us, it really
Whoa. Stop getting hysterical. What are you talking about?
When you start talking about the Sanhedrin that was responsible for the crucifixion of the Nazarene, don't you realize as a Jew how sensitive that issue is to us?
When all right, so let's talk about it without getting hysterical. Who was it who tried Jesus?
That's irrelevant. The point is that...
Well, why is it irrelevant? You're raising an issue. You're saying I'm committing a crime by talking about the truth. So let's talk about the truth. Since you're a Hebrew truth-sayer, tell me the truth. Who tried Jesus?
The point is, even if he did exist, which is a controversial subject on its own...
Even if he did exist, you mean... Now you sound like those who say that even if God existed.
Not at all, because...
Not at all. Why? Because you're Jewish, so therefore Jesus doesn't exist? Do you realize how insulting that is to Christians?
No, let's set the record straight.
No, let's set the record straight. You called me up and said it's offensive of me to say that the Sanhedrin tried Jesus. Let's start with the historic fact. That is a fact.
That only makes Christians hate us more when we're already hated enough in France and in England.
Oh, that makes Christians hate you more.
What?
Why does it make Christians hate you more when the exact opposite is the point I was making? I was saying to you that a minority of the Jewish judges said Jesus was innocent. Didn't you hear that part of it?
Whether he was innocent or guilty, to bring up something which has been...
Let's blow the lid off this nonsense, Mendel. You live in your own world. You live in the world of the Bible, the Talmud, the five books of Moses. and the Torah and the Talmud, and I respect that. But is it not true that your children are not allowed to learn science?
Not at all. My children.
Is it not true that your children are not allowed to learn certain facts of history because it violates their belief system?
My children have a secular education up to the 8th grade, and my daughters up to the 12th grade. So you.
Wait. And what happens after the 12th grade?
12th grade, they went to seminary. All my daughters, three of them, cannot...
All right. That's well and good. That is your choice. But does that mean that knowledge ends with your daughters?
No. And my sons went to have an education, one of them up to 12th grade, and one of them up to the 8th grade, and then went right on to seminary themselves.
That's fine. So you're raising a children who are religious, but does that mean that they have perfect knowledge of the whole world?
No, it means that when they have Torah... Torah is perfect knowledge of the whole world because...
Yeah, I understand that's what you believe, but it's not true to most of the world. And most of the world right now is living with barbarians who would slaughter you and your daughters. And we need to wake the world up to what's actually going on.
Let's talk about what's going on in terms of Jewish sources. Number one, we're in what's called the fifth exile. The last one is that of the Yishmaelim, the one we're going through right now.
All right, stop with the Yishmaelim already. Please don't bring up Yonah Shimmel to me. Talk in English. What is your main point?
The Ishmaelites, the Muslims, the Arabs, it's talked about in Jewish sources that they're going to make wars all over the world, that they're the only religion that makes slaughtering innocent human beings a sacrament. The Torah says that Ishmael is going to be a wild ass of a man.
All right, hold on a minute. And how do you fight this evil, these barbarians? How do you fight them, with the Torah or with a bomb?
You have to eradicate them the same way you have to eradicate the Amalekites.
You have to eradicate them, okay? And how do you eradicate them?
The commandment to...
I asked you, how do you eradicate them? I ask you a simple question. Let's come out of the yeshiva for 2 minutes. How do you eradicate this evil?
You bomb them to smithereens.
Okay, you bomb them to smithereens or I bomb them?
No,
I don't bomb them. The American military bombs them, 99% of whom are Christians.
Question. If there was a war...
No, you hear what I just said to you? 99% of the U.S. military are Christians. Take a look at the graves around America, the military graves. They have crosses on them. Do you know why? Because they believed in something. They believed in their religion. When they died, they were given the last rites. Christian rites they were given. Don't you think that we should respect that as well?
Michael, why do you always have to cite...
Why do you always have to denigrate people other than Jewish people? Why? Why do you have to do that to make your point? Tell us how holy you are.
My point is that you are bringing more anti-Semitism on us.
Oh, don't give me that garbage. Don't make me jump to your tune. I'm not going to fall for it.
Let me tell you about the...
I'm not going to fall for this. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your holy rolling, because if you really want to get into it, I'll dig even more deeply into your whole scene. You want to go into it?
Go ahead.
You want to go into your scene and how holy you really are? Let's go into how holy you really are. Are you still there, Mendel?
I'm here. Tell us how holy we are.
Okay. What percentage of ultra-religious people in your sect are on welfare?
What does that mean, that you're unholy? If they need it, they need it.
Oh, they need it. Well, because I happen to oppose welfare. I find it a leech that takes welfare. It makes me sick. I grew up in a poor home. No, but I knew people, my people would rather throw themselves off a fire escape than accept public assistance.
In this case, we have people who are discriminated against. They can't get jobs because they look like Hasidim with long...
Oh, here we go again. Okay, you see, you've got all the answers, don't you, Mendel?
I lived a life.
You've got all the answers, but your number one answer is whenever anyone says anything that you don't like, you scream anti-Semitism. You're your worst enemy, Mendel.
Not at all. But those the people that are holy have children, sometimes in 5 or 6, 7, even 10 or more children, doing what God blessed them to do.
All right, so they should work at the same time as doing God's work. You can do both. In fact, I read the Talmud. It says a man should have a profession or a trade and study the Torah. It didn't say he should sit and collect welfare and study the Torah. Where does it say that?
If this is the most generous, kind country in the entire world...
But you deny that the religion exists of this generous, kind nation.
I didn't deny.
You said even if it exists, you deny its existence. You say that the kind people don't even have a religion.
Got enough already.
Stay on the line. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
We cannot just walk on by. If we are to keep this country safe, we have to confront this menace. Step by step, we must drive back, dismantle, and utterly destroy ISIL and what it stands for. We will do so in a calm, deliberate way, but with an iron determination.
That is a really fine speech by British Prime Minister Cameron. Of course, the non sequitur at the beginning, the PR that Islam is a religion of peace, disturbs me. Because we're not trying to start a whole war with all of Islam. I mean, I understand the ground they're walking on, but until they force some reality onto this situation, I don't know how we're ever going to win the war. We need a reformation in this religion. That religion must go through the Middle Ages for it to become part of the modern world. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I can only say things the way I see them. I can't mince words. The Christians used to be as fanatic. The Jewish Bible, if you look at the Old Testament, which I have with me and I respect deeply, and I'm not a religious man per se, but I certainly know God exists because I didn't create myself. But I carry, I have in my house, a large Old Testament, the five books of Moses. And as I've said to you, one day this will be a collectible in my library. There's 1,000 post-its in it of things I found remarkable. There's so many post-its I can't find the pages. However, there are so many edicts to kill and murder and maim and destroy, especially in Ecclesiastes, that it makes your head spin because it was from another time. Now, modern Jews, no matter how religious they are, certainly don't kill adulterers. They don't kill homosexuals. They don't follow the Old Testament in that regard. They have modified these edicts to kill and destroy and maim. They have done so. They had to do so in order to live in this modern world. And certainly modern Muslims don't practice those tenets in the Quran. But do you know that a very, very large percentage of the Quran consists of thou shalt slay thy neighbor? If you see an infidel, thou shalt cut his throat. If I see a Jew hiding behind a tree, cut his throat. Why is that not something we in the civilized world can talk about? What kind of weakness is this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Today, few threats are more urgent than the threat posed by violent extremism. And with the emergence of groups like ISIL and the knowledge that some Americans are attempting to travel to countries like Syria and Iraq to take part in ongoing conflicts, the Justice Department is responding appropriately.
Oh, that sounds so vociferous. That's Eric Holder, who saves his real vitriol for returning American military veterans, members of the Tea Party, members of any conservative news organization. He sounds rather pablum-like with ISIS. It's sort of a something you had to do, get it out of the system, you know. So the world is falling apart. The world is falling apart. Now, am I saying it? Am I just a paranoid lunatic? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts, but it seems there's an awful lot of nuts like me out there who see the reality of what's going on. Even nuts who were once liberals, like Roger Cohen of the New York Times. Look at the top of the Drudge Report. He cites The Great Unraveling by someone named Roger Cohen, whose name I vaguely recognize as one of the great supporters of the disease called liberalism. And the man writes this long article about how the world is falling apart. It was a time of unraveling. Long afterward in the ruins, people asked, how could it happen? And he goes into a long list of what's going on around the world. Not once does he mention Obama. Not once does he mention liberalism. Not once does he mention the fact that he eviscerated the military. Not once does he mention the fact that he treated our allies like enemies and our enemies like friends. Not once does he mention what this man has done and is doing and will do to this country. Not once in this long article in the New York Times does Roger Cohen talk about the long march of the left through our institutions. Not once does Roger Cohen of the New York Times mention Obama's war on our borders, language, and culture. Not once does Roger Cohen mention the war in the U.S. military. Not once does Mr. Cohen mention the war in American medicine. Not once does Mr. Cohen mention the war on civil rights. Nowhere does Roger Cohen mention the war on our school children. Nowhere does Roger Cohen mention the war on our allies. But I mention all of that in my 11 chapters in Stop the Coming Civil War. And I'm not going to talk about the book until it's in the stores. And then I'm going to give you your job. You're going to go out there and you're going to buy it. You're going to do it then. But I am going to do something for you today that I didn't plan on doing. I want to read you the last page of the book. And you want to hear it? I'll read it to you. The devil once said that his greatest trick was convincing you he didn't exist. Obama's greatest trick is convincing us that he has our best interests at heart. As I see it, he has only a dictator's interests at heart, and he must be stopped. How can that be done, I ask? If only 10% or even 5% of those of you who voted Democratic in the last two elections vote Republican in 2014 and 2016, you can save this country. Though I fear the worst, I also have the greatest faith in the patriotic resolve in America. According to a poll conducted in September 2013, more than 20% of Americans identify themselves as members of the Tea Party. Another 42% of voters, many of whom may be Tea Partiers, identify as independent. Most would consider them outnumbered in their quest to bring our country back to its former glory. It's not a fair fight, the pundits say. Not me. If this large block of voters actually voted against the treason, against the incompetence, against the indifference, they could save the nation. Now here's the last paragraph of Stop the Coming Civil War. I hear the roar of those patriotic voices every day on my national radio show. I feel the conviction in their belief. I sense the soundness of their ideals, and I hear the strong beats of their patriotic hearts. That's the end of the book, but that's the beginning of the work. Now, many of you will say, you know, all you're asking for is an earthquake, a tsunami at the voting booth. You say, what good is that when we have tepid men like Boehner and the other compromised Republicans running this fake Republican Party? I have an answer to that, too. A very good answer to that. And I'll give it to you right now. The Democrat Socialist Islamist Party, called the Democrat Party, is the death that means the death of America. They got us where we are. They destroyed the world. The world that's falling apart like the legs off a stool were done by the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party. That's Obama, Feinstein, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, you name them, Schumer, all of them. They're not inherently evil people, but they're inherently disturbed people. They're very disturbed. They're so given to absolute power, they could care less what happens as a result of their grab of this absolute power. They don't care if the whole world is falling around under their feet. They're drunk on their power. They've never had it so good. The Gilded Palace has never looked so great to them. So the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party must be thrown out and must be thrown out and purged completely. And I say, well, then what are we going to get? Well, we're going to get a tepid, mediocre, run-of-the-mill Republican opposition. Say, well, what good is that? Because as a man who understands the compass very well, I'll say it to you again, it's a great analogy. As a former boater, I don't boat much anymore. I used to. Drove a big boat. Any pilot knows this, or any hunter knows this, any person who backpacks knows this, any Boy Scout knows this. Any Boy Scout knows more about how to get through the wilderness than the president does. You could drop a junior scout in the woods, he'd get himself out with a compass. Obama would have to call a teleprompter from the heavens to tell him which way is north. But any Boy Scout who's ever used a compass knows this. If you change the course of direction in which you are traveling by only 2 or 3 degrees, in the beginning, those 2 or 3 degrees are very, very minimal. They have almost no effect. But way out, miles out from that origin, that point of origin of that 2 degree of separation, the differential between where you would have ended up and where you do end up is enormous. And that requires very little knowledge to understand. That's something that anyone with a compass and a 10th grade education could comprehend. And so a 2 or 3 degree separation between the Republicans and Democrats may be all we need to save the country. And I spell it all out and Stop the Coming Civil War. We need to restore the generals who are combat generals. We need to clean up the intelligence agencies of all the Islamist fellow travelers. All of these group thinkers who have been put into the CIA, FBI, DHS, who've told all the others who know what's going on to shut up, to just shut up and keep clam up and say nothing, they must be thrown out. We need to literally save the nation by saving the nation. It's going to be a long road, but it can never happen under the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party. It cannot happen. They're the ones who got us here. And so Roger Cohen writes, it's a time of weakness. The most powerful nation on earth was tired of far-flung wars. Its will and treasury depleted by absence of victory. The nation had bridges to build and education systems to fix. Civil wars between Arabs could fester. Enemies might even kill other enemies, a low-cost gain. Middle Eastern borders could fade. They were artificial colonial lines on a map. Shiite could battle Sunni, and Sunni Shiite, there was no stopping them. Like Europe's decades-long religious wars, these wars had to run their course. Now, I'll stop right there because this is utter nonsense. It's utter nonsense because this low-grade war that Mr. Cohen is writing about in his beautiful office up there in the New York Times has a real cost. And the cost is the religious minorities in the Middle East, Christians included, who are being slaughtered, their churches burned, the Yazidi women who have been sold into brothels for these filthy, degenerate, throwback vermin called ISIL. Can you imagine seeing your wife or your daughter, or God forbid your mother, snatched from your house and sent to a house like this where these vermin are allowed to have sex with them as long as they wish? This was done to Korean women in World War II by the Japanese, by the way. If you ever want to study that one, go study it. They were called comfort women. Ask the women who survived, some of whom are grandmothers now, how comforting it was to them. They were women, they were girls, just like your daughter. They were innocent babies at one point in their lives. Pure, beautiful people. The vicious, psychotic, fascistic Japanese military captured the Koreans, and the Chinese, by the way, and turned them into whores. I don't know what other word to use it. What can I say? The woman I... See, I don't want to use that word because the woman isn't that. They were slaves, in other words, sex slaves. That's a better word. And they used them. The men would do this to them around the clock. I'm trying to be graphic without being pornographic so you understand what the enemy is. I don't write from the towers of the New York Times. I'm not Roger Cohen. I'm not Roger Cohen with delicate white fingers picking at a little salad for lunch, writing in such an antiseptic manner as though there's no human cost to this little intellectual exercise of his about the world falling apart because of men like himself, the great unraveling. No, my friends, there's a reason for all of this. And he concludes by saying, until it was too late and people could see the great unraveling for what it was and what it had wrought. What do you mean, Roger? What great unraveling? You mean your master that you put in the White House? You and the other slaves in New York's liberal denizens who thought God had arrived on the planet because he wasn't a white male Christian? Is that it, Roger? You gave us this man! You gave us Eric Holder! You gave us all of these louts! You're the one who destroyed this country, Roger. You and your friends eating that delicate salad in Manhattan right now. You're the ones who did this to us. We knew who these people were. We knew it from the get-go. And now that the world is crumbling around you, you have no one to blame but yourself, Roger. But you're not even intellectually honest enough to say that. So I guess there's only one place left for you to go, Roger. That would be Bill Maher. Bill Maher, the Stalinist hack of the Obama administration. Or perhaps it's Colbert, the other jester of the administration. Or perhaps it's that other one, I don't even know his name, Leibovitz, I don't know what his name is on the stage. Whatever his name is. The other one, the other jester of the Obama administration. John Stewart, right, John Stewart, another genius. Another great genius, John Stewart. That's the last refuge of the scoundrel. Go on there with your automatic laughter and tell your story there. Because you have a fixed audience and you'll think that everyone believes you. But why don't you try it cold on a radio show with no stooge audience? Go on to a national show like mine, Roger, and justify how you can write such an article with such disregard for the truth, including the truth that you're the one who caused this downfall of Western civilization. You did it, Roger. You and all your friends at the New York Times. You're the ones who did it to us. We knew what this was. We saw him from a mile away. So now that the thing has come home to roost, the chicken has come home to roost, or whatever you say. I had some coq au vin the other night, by the way, and it was not a rooster. It was a hen. I hear that the roosters taste better after days in the wine. That's a paradox, isn't it, that the tough flesh of the rooster becomes softer after days of soaking in wine. Go figure. That a hen is not as soft as a rooster after soaking in wine. The days of wine and roses. The days of wine and roses. The phone number is 855-407-282. I'm not about talked out. I'm just about ready to get started. And I'll do so if you care to join the program. As David on WJR, let's take a quick call. David on WJR, go ahead, please.
Yeah, doctor, I just want to say that you hit the nail right on the head earlier when you said that these American people, they will not follow the correct and good leaders for some odd reason. I've experienced it personally, and they're just as much to blame as anyone else.
You mean why do they follow false prophets like Barack Obama? Why do they buy his lies? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what.
In other words, why would they rather buy the lies of a man like him than listen to the plain, honest, simple truth? Why? That's what you're saying.
I think because they lie to themselves.
I don't have a direct answer. I think it's cowardice as much as anything else. It's weakness. It's cowardice. It's wanting to hide from the truth. And they feel that if they just, you know, go along with that message, everything will be okay. They don't want to be bothered. But you see, if 30 to 50 million Americans stood up and said, enough is enough, we can't take this anymore, we're all going to die, we could save the country. It's that simple. You're never going to get more than 30 million, but you'll get 30 million. You only need 30 million men and women to stand up and say, enough is enough. We're not going to cower from these people. And then maybe when we get control of the government again, and we get a real defense secretary, a combat individual, someone who served in combat, unlike what we have there now, a cost-cutting bean counter, then maybe they'll drop the correct ordinance on these throwbacks. Just maybe. That's my prayer. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
If they show their ugly head in our area, we'll send them to hell. And I think the United States need to get busy. And they need to bomb them. They need to take them out. I would like for them to hit them so hard and so often that every time they hear a propeller on a plane or a jet aircraft engine that they urinate down both legs. When you do that, then you've accomplished a lot. We need to shut them off. We need to kill them.
Of course, you hear that talk somewhere in Manhattan, but it's usually, I can't say that. But most of the police departments in America who have not been feminized and destroyed have men just like that in it. That's why you're able to go to sleep at night with a high degree of safety, is because these men put themselves in the line for you. I realize it's very, very popular right now to put down the police, but if it were not for that so-called thin blue line, you'd be eaten by the jackals. They are the wolfhound. The police are the wolfhounds. They hunt the wolves. And I say give them everything they need to kill the wolves before the wolves come for you. And the same goes with our combat troops, not these guys with the with the generals up in the Pentagon. They're all politicians. Some of them were once great warriors. Does the Quran really contain dozens of verses promoting violence, or is that hatred on my part? Let me give you a fact. The Quran contains at least 109 verses that call Muslims to war against non-believers for the sake of Islamic domination and rule. There are commands to chop off heads and fingers and kill infidels wherever they may be hiding. So, my friend, yes, the Old Testament has many verses of violence. But they were expunged and are not practiced. While ISIL and their fellow travelers around the world practice their Bible to the nth degree.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If they show their ugly head in our area, we'll send them to hell. And I think the United States need to get busy. And they need to bomb them. They need to take them out. I would like for them to hit them so hard and so often that every time they hear a propeller on a plane or a jet aircraft engine, that they urinate down both legs. When you do that, then you've accomplished a lot. We need to shut them off. We need to kill them.
That's the American voice that Obama detests, hates, suppresses, fears, wishes was gone. Welcome to the Savage Nation. That's a Texas sheriff to ISIS fighters who cross the border. We'll send them to hell. You say, well, what's the alarmism? They're not crossing the border. Oh, no? Are you sure? Look at the Drudge Report and see the link. He didn't write it. He only linked it. Revealed, agents find 9/11 terror message draped across border fence. Oh, that's nothing. Feds hid incident from public. Wait a minute, lady. You're the one who's sure that I'm just an alarmist? Quran books found along Mexican border. I didn't make it up. Oh, you mean they're sneaking in? Texas Sheriff Report warns of ISIS terrorist cells coming across the border. You heard me. He sees them. Midland County Sheriff Gary Painter, who I just played, said that law enforcement agencies along the wide open border receive alerts to be on the lookout for terrorists from the Islamic State and Assyria crossing into the United States. He said he's been working along the border for 8 years, and he said, I received an intelligence report that said that there was ISIS cells that were active in the Juarez area, which is the northern part of the Chihuahua state, and they're moving around over there, that there was some activity. The report asked for the sheriffs along the border to be on the alert, for all law enforcement to be on alert, and to be on a lookout for these people. That's what he said. He said, I'm saying the border is wide open. There's no control on the border. There's places along the Rio Grande where you can walk across. There's no water in it. He said, I worked the border for 8 years. I walked back and forth across the Rio Grande. I was in Mexico. I was on this side. I never got challenged. He said, there's always a way to get across. There's coyotes that bring those people across for thousands of dollars. Sheriff Painter noted that Muslim items have been strewn along the border, and estimated that 10 to 15 million undocumented aliens have crossed the border. He says, I think it'd be naive to say that ISIS is not here. We have found Muslim clothing. They have found Quran books that are lying on the side of the trail. So we know that there are Muslims that have come across and are being smuggled into the United States. Don't tell that to Wolf Blitzer. Don't tell that to Jeff Zuckerman or at CNN. He'd rather put his head in the sand than report about the incident in Ferguson, Missouri, for the next 5 years to see if he can generate more hatred than CNN already generates. That's their stock and trade, generating hatred against America. But you see, all the hatred that Jeff Zucker of CNN generates on CNN and elsewhere is not going to save America. It's only the God-given anger of the American male that can save this country. And that's why I go back to my opening point on the show today. I'll go back and hammer it again and again and again. And if you don't like it, there's nothing you can do about it, because I'll say it again. Here it is. Only the rednecks can save America. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Point number two, the Honduran flu is here. And only an honest public health official can save America from the Honduran flu. And number three, we've gone from neutron bombs to neutered bombs in one administration. And number four, warning, civil war. Civil war, warning. Warning. Warning, if this keeps up, they're going to trigger something, and God only knows we all lose. It has to be done at the ballot box, boys. We've gone from flower power to zero power in one generation. That's the left for you. From putting daisies in the barrels of guns to putting nothing in the barrels of guns in one generation. And yet you open the New York Post. One woman, two wombs, three babies. That's the headline. Not one word about terrorism. Tom and Jerry reenactment nearly turns deadly. Peterson, I am without a doubt not a child abuser. Carjacking class. A movie, Django actress in sex. Why some owners aren't publicly supporting Roger Goodell. Look what happens when a newspaper is taken over by liberalism. The Post used to be the conservative alternative. I love the paper. I especially love Page Six because I was mentioned in it 2 weeks ago after my party in New York. So I will always love the Post.
In fact, I go there every day for my horoscope. Of all the horoscopes, I like Sally Brompton the best. It's just to the point, Aries, the final piece of a puzzle you have been struggling with will fall into place over the next 2 or 3 days. Once you can see the entire picture, you will know why it took so long to make sense of it. You'll enjoy the view, too. I have no idea what that means. There's always a puzzle. I've been struggling with a puzzle from the day I was born. There's never a final piece of a puzzle, ever. But I like reading the horoscope. Sometimes they're so accurate, it's frightening. I know many of you are religious and you think it's witchcraft or something like that. Okay, whatever. Different strokes for different folks, you know. I mean, I use whatever I can to get through life. Vitamins, vodka, anything with a V I like. I'm sorry. That could be misinterpreted. I'm sorry. Don't take that the right way, please. Actually, I don't know of anything that begins with a V that's bad. Vinegar? I even like vinegar. I use rice vinegar, Japanese rice vinegar. So I use whatever I have to use to get through these tough times and these tough days. I've used it since I'm a child. Humor, learning, education. Slapstick humor. You know, the nicest thing I ever heard about a humorist was on one of my favorite movie channels is TCM, Turner Classic Movies. I love the channel. And they would show a little piece over the weekend about a comedian I never heard of who died in 1948 or 9. They talk about his funeral. He's like a slapstick crazy guy that they all loved. He entertained everyone day and night. They said he was never happiest when he had a drink in one hand and a woman in the other. And he died suddenly at a very early age, 39, 38, I don't remember what. I don't even know his name. And they talked about the eulogy that was given. And they said Frank Sinatra sang at his funeral. And that Phil Silvers, the comedian of the 50s, gave the eulogy. And the eulogy was this. I forget the guy's name. Let's say the guy's name was Hank. And he says, Hank, let's see if I get it right. He said, Hank, I've never had a day that you made me sad except today. It was so touchingly beautiful. I mean, where are lines like that? What a beautiful line that was. Something like, Hank, I haven't never had a sad day that I ever knew you until today. I mean, that was something better than that. Phil Silver, I always liked him. So you're behind the humor of people, really humor, not the stuff that you see today that's written by smarter men with curly hair and big eyeglasses, performed by the government media complex clowns on HBO and Showtime and Laugh-A-Thon channels. In order to justify the stalag that we are all going to against our wills, because it is the best of times and it is the worst of times. 'Tis a far, far better place that I go than I've ever been. And now I'm starting to speak in tongues for various and sundry reasons. I think I'll continue to speak in a stream of consciousness for those of you who've come to love it. When I was a high school student, I had to read A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. I had a favorite uncle. All my uncles were favorite. I loved them all. They're all dead. One thing I miss is family, very close-knit immigrant family. And I'm not saying everybody loved everybody, but it was, you know, a family, always jealousies and petty this and everyone loved each other. They were there for each other through thick and through thin. And one of the things I loved about this uncle, who had served in World War II in the Air Force in Britain, I believe, was that when I told him I was entering high school, I was very intimidated by the learning I'd have to do. I didn't think I could, you know, live up to the standards. It was a very tough school. Jamaica High School in those days was probably harder than Harvard is today in terms of its academic requirements. What, with the Regents exams in New York City? Are you kidding me? Half the Harvard graduates today couldn't pass the Regents exams. I dare say that most of the appointees in the Obama administration couldn't pass them, but let's leave that out of it for a minute. So I told him I had to read A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. And to me, I didn't know who Charles Dickens was. I had no idea. But we read it in high school. And the minute I said that to him, he smiled at me, Uncle Sol, and he said, 'tis a far, far better place that I go than I've ever been. I said, what's that? He said, that's the famous quote of Sidney Carton at the back of the novel. Now, here is a guy who had gone back and forth in World War II. He understood the book that his nephew was reading in high school. Now, take a look at what they're teaching our children today. Is there any nobility in Johnny Has Two Mothers? Is there any nobility in Janie Has Two Fathers? Is that what you want your children to be reading today? Is that equal to A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens? Perhaps it is for you, but that's why the world's falling apart. Don't you understand that there's a connection between your liberalism? There's a connection between your devout religion of liberalism. It's a religion to you. Many of you are not religious, but your religion, your doxies are all liberal. May as well be a Bible. The Bible, the catechism of liberalism, If you read the Catechism of Liberalism, it's to destroy the borders, destroy the language, and there is no culture. It's that all immigrants come here to work. All immigrants are good. We're a nation of immigrants. All religions are good or all religions are bad. Those are the biblical verses for liberalism. That's why we are where we are. It didn't happen by accident. A nation lives and a nation dies by ideas. Did you know that? America was born of an idea. A nation was born of an idea. This nation was born of an idea. And it's the lack of ideas, or shall I say, ideas that are killing this nation. It's the ideas of liberalism that are killing this nation. Killing it on a daily basis. Do you actually think Obama and Holder and Pelosi have changed their thinking? Do you actually think that the kidnappings, the forced prostitution, burying people alive, the burning of churches, the killing of Christians, the decimation of Yazidi people, you think that that's entered their mind for 1 second? I doubt it. You think those stone comedians on television give a rat's behind about any of that? You actually think it enters their mind? It's a nation of Kleeglites. Everyone's a star behind their car. Just put them in a new car, put the air conditioning on. Everyone's a movie star. It's got automatic controls. I dare say that we're going to have robots, they say, in the very near future. They're here already. I would dare say that if you gave me a robot and I could program it, and I could read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Stop the Coming Civil War, some of the other books I've written over the years, into this brain, the computerized brain of this robot, it could save this country better than any politician could. Listen to what I just said. Think about how profoundly true that actually is. If I were to program a robot and made that robot president, and I programmed that robot to what I write in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, and I talk about what needs to be done to save us from civil war and to save the country and to champion our borders, language, and culture and to restore America's military and our schools and every other institution that's been decimated by the enemies of progress who call themselves progressives. If I were to program that robot and that robot would act according to that program, this country could be saved more so by a robot than by any living person. Do you know that? I stand by those words. I told you that sometimes free association is good. Free association is very, very good. It's called free thinking. It's just thinking out loud, something Americans are afraid to do. Well, I'm telling you to think out loud. Blurt it out. Shout it out. Speak it out. Spit it out like that sheriff. Because the only thing that can save this country is testosterone. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. From flower power to zero power and one generation of liberals. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Let's take a quick caller. But first, here's a story. 1 cent stamp from 1856 sold at auction for $9.5 million. A 1 cent postage stamp from a 19th century British colony in South America has become the world's most valuable stamp again. The 1856 British Guiana 1 cent magenta sold Tuesday at auction in New York for $9.5 million. That must have been last week. The stamp was expected to bring between $10 million and $20 million. I'm not a stamp collector, and I was for a very brief period of time when I was 11 or 12 during the period that I also gambled. But I got all of that out of coin collecting, 11 and 12. Adolescent boys go through that. It's something to do with sexual repression. I don't know. I read it somewhere. I never studied it carefully. But gambling, 11 to 12, stamp collecting, 11 to 12, coin collecting, 11 to 12. Then you find girls, and there's no point in collecting. there are people who are philatelic experts here. I like the word philatelic. It has a certain power to it. Philatelic. This is an interesting line about this. Measuring 1 inch by 1 1/4 inches, it hasn't been on public view since 1986, And it is the only major stamp absent from the British royal family's private royal philatelic collection. Nice paragraph. Joe in Dallas on the internet, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, sir.
Well, hello, Doc. It's a pleasure to talk to you and my honor to be able to speak with you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, Doc, I was just going to tell you, I have been listening to you for a long time, and I've had to go to iHeartRadio to be able to find you. Because WBAP is one of those non-followers.
No. I'm on WBAP for 2 hours a day, Joe. I'm on BAP is one of my best stations.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I have to switch off and go to Johnson City.
What? It's better 2 hours than nothing, Joe. That's the way to look at it.
No. I get the full 3 hours because I switch off and go to another station.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what's on your mind, Joe? What's the main topic?
Well, a couple of things. One, I'm just telling you, the rednecks here are ready in Texas in the event there are some jihadis coming down the street.
Well, I wish that they would be ready. Unfortunately, a federal government will tell you you can't protect yourself.
Well, they try to, but we still have ways of making sure we're ready to go.
Why is it this administration fears the redneck? Why are they so in fear of the people who can save this country? I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's only the rednecks who can save this country. It's certainly not the writers of the New York Times. Joe, let me send you Stop the Coming Civil War. You know, it's available very shortly, but you're going to get one of the first copies.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you, sir.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. It's going to be a big bestseller. It's going to be like one of those books that changed the course of American history. That's my goal. And thank you for calling, Joe. Stay on the line. We'll get that out to you. WBAP, Texas. Woody, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, thank you very much. I just want to say that I fought for this country back in the early 60s, and I'm almost ashamed to know that the guys that I left on that wall and over there, it was useless. This country has gotten soft. Nobody knows what it's like unless you were there.
Woody, all I can say is I respect you down to my DNA. And all I can do is give you a gift of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. It's the only testament I have.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, if only I could look up to a mayor again. Oh, if only. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. But I can't. See, you can't turn the clock back. You can only live in the present and look forward to the future. And that's it. And that's why I say only testosterone can save America. It's this. Can anyone argue with what I just said to you? When we're facing enemies like this that do these things to humanity, things that we haven't seen since Hitler's time, and I don't mean you're talking about a random case of this or a random case of that. I'm talking about a state-sponsored genocide that's going on right under your nose. State-sponsored. It's called the Islamic State, isn't it? Isn't that state-sponsored? They say they have a state. They have a country. They have a nation. They have a land. They have geography. They have a religion. They have a language. They have a culture. They have borders. They say so. Yet every politician says it's not Muslims. They're not Muslims. They're not a religion. They would disagree. No, they disagree completely. They say, no, it is our religion. What do you mean it isn't, Mr. Kerry? So we have a problem on our hands, not so much from the enemy, but from the enemies within. The heads-in-the-sand enemies of the type of John Kerry and everyone else who keeps saying it's not this, it's not that, without defining who it is. Oh, yes, indeedy. We are in deep, deep quicksand. And someone's got to throw us a big, fat 2x4 to grab onto. And methinks it's just not Eric Holder nor Barack Obama who's going to throw that 2x4 to save Western civilization. Certainly isn't the man who took Winston Churchill's bust out of the White House literally the day he moved in, because it reminded him of colonialism, the evils of colonialism that he was raised to hate. Oh, I hated colonialism. Learned that at his mama's knee. Colonialism, no good. Well, now that we have the breakup of all these colonies, how good is that? How good is all of the self-governance? Wonder about that, haven't you? Yes, boys and girls, it takes a little knowledge of history in order to not repeat it. Unfortunately, there is no knowledge of history. It's just repeating it over and over again. So now we're bombing them, but not back to the Stone Age, just sort of like an aspirin factory in the Libyan desert. It's the bombing type that Bill Clinton did. You know, kind of not even a surgical bombing campaign. It was a theatrical bombing campaign that Obama's engaging in. Theatrical. It's theatrics. Now an expert comes along and says sending U.S. troops to fight ISIS is a recipe for disaster. Guess what? I think he's right. I think he's right. The U.S. should consider boosting its support for Iraq's military. Well, we know how that worked out. They gave them the tanks. Yeah, Iraq's military. What military? No, give it to the Kurdish Peshmerga forces. They'll fight. And the reason we're not giving the Peshmerga Kurds the weapons that they need is because we're afraid of Turkey. See, the Kurds are an interesting group of people. They're ferocious warriors. And the Kurds once dominated the area in historic times. You don't know about that, but that's another story. And they've been subjugated, decimated, isolated, marginalized. But the Kurds live in an autonomous area that they would like to see emerge into their own nation. The Turks don't want that to happen. So we have a problem here, which is that we can't really support the Kurds, because if we do, blah, 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 then the Turks will get mad. Even though the Turks aren't helping us, we don't want to turn them into an overt enemy. It's complicated. The Middle East has always been Byzantine. That's where the word Byzantine comes from the Byzantine Empire. It is Byzantium. There's no question about that. It is Byzantium. There is no question we are in Byzantium. Now, the only solution to Byzantium is to bomb them into hell. That's all. Wherever you find them, kill them and bomb them. That's as simple as that. Let's not parse words. Let's not ask how many angels are on the head of a pin. They want to kill us? Kill them first. You come to put a bomb in your mother's house? Put one in their mother's house first. Period. End of story. Been the rules from the cave. The other caveman put a bomb in your brother-in-law's cave and blew him up and his family. So you got to blow up that guy before he blows you up too. Period. End of story. What are you thinking so hard about it? We didn't go to Roger Cohen of the New York Times for the answer. We'll go one of the comedians, the stoned comedians on HBO. They're going to give you the answer. Nancy Pelosi's going to give you the answer. No, I'll give you the answer. I'll give you the answer directly. A lot of answers, direct answers. We have the power to destroy them in a very short period of time. We don't have the leadership. That simple. You put a guy like Schwarzkopf or one of the other great generals in power, in charge rather, to conduct this campaign against ISIS, and you give him the tools he needs, he wiped them off the planet. They'll be gone. But then instead we have the college teacher. I wouldn't call him a professor. He never rose to that status. In fact, we never even know if he graduated or what he wrote or whatever. But you take this college teacher, this adjunct professor who's now professor of the American Republic, what's left of it. Oh, he's done 150 missions, 160 missions, whatever. How come we haven't seen one M1A Abrams tank that they stole millions of dollars on drones and whatnot to blow up a Toyota in the desert? And we've not yet blown up a tank. Why is that? I know. I'm the only one who knows. I seem to be the only political military commentator in the country who knows what's going on. And I told it to you last week, and I'm sick to tell it to you. You're being deceived again. Once again, they're lying to you. It's not about ISIS. They're a front group for destroying Assad. Obama's been itching to get the military up to strength to take down Assad in Syria. But he couldn't get public support for it. So they tried the chemical weapons gambit a year ago. That didn't take because it turned out it was too ambiguous. It turned out that maybe the so-called rebels had gassed their own people and then said that the Assad regime did it. There was enough evidence on both sides that we couldn't conclude. Very much along the lines of we don't know who shot down that Malaysian airline jet. Could have been the Russians, the separatists, or it could have been the Ukrainians themselves. We don't know. There was no definitive answer. And the investigation was never completed. So we don't know. So they tried the chemical weapons gambit with Assad. They couldn't get anywhere. So now, oh, ISIS this, ISIS that, ISIS this, ISIS that, da, da, da. Let them grow, fund them, support them. See, these are the rebels from Syria. That's how they grew into this cancer. We gave them weapons and we gave them training, secret training. And then they broke away from the fight in Syria to take over a whole swath of territory called the Islamic State. So we made this Frankenstein. Why? Then the Iraqi military ran away and left the weapons that we gave them, including M1A Abrams tanks. Now, what in the heck do these guys need Abrams tanks for? Well, they're going to use them against Assad's tanks. Now, how better to give them tanks than give them tanks? You don't even have to ship them over. You just let the alleged enemy steal them, and then you let the alleged enemy become your ally and let him take down Assad. You say, well, that's good. That's smart. That's really great. That's intelligent. Well, hold on. You say Assad needs to be taken down. I say not so fast. As monstrous as he is, he's the devil that we know that we can do business with. Look at what happened in Libya. Have you not learned anything from what Obama and Pelosi have done? They killed Gaddafi, who said to us over and over again, don't kill me, he said, because if you kill me, warlords will take over Libya, and you're going to have in Libya what you have in Somalia. It's exactly what happened. Remember when your genius administration took down Mubarak, what emerged in Egypt? Everything they've touched has turned to ashes, and yet they want to do it again in Syria. And who will not benefit from this the most? The Christians. Who will be slaughtered and driven into exile if Assad is removed? The Christians. You say, well, is this by accident? Are they this dumb that they can't learn from their mistakes? Some would argue, yes, they are this dumb. They're just a bunch of dummy academics who are running around like chickens without their heads in a slaughterhouse. They don't know what they're doing. Yet there are others who would argue, no, it's not so dumb. They're doing it on purpose because they're ISIS fellow travelers in the White House, or Iranian fellow travelers in the White House, or however you want to put it. That's what's going on in the United States of America. So there's been a real war on the military in this country. But worse than that, there's been a war on intelligence in this country. And I'm trying to awaken you every day on the Savage Nation. It's that simple. It's the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Again, mark the date down right there, October 7th. You're going to a bookstore near you. You're going to go in there as my army, and you are going to clean out the shelves for Stop the Coming Civil War, and we will send that message right up to the White House. We've had enough of this. I'll be right back. It's the only show that I recommend, my show. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. What I do for you now is I'm giving you the summary of the sound bites of the Savage Nation for today. You got to listen to this. Here's a Texas sheriff telling ISIS fighters who cross the border, we'll send you to hell. And he said every time they hear a jet propeller or a jet engine, they should urinate down their legs. That's the kind of man who should be running a Department of Defense, not Hagel the Bagel. Listen.
If they show their ugly head in our area, we'll send them to hell. And I think the United States need to get busy. And they need to bomb them. They need to take them out. I would like for them to hit them so hard and so often that every time they hear a propeller on a plane or a jet aircraft engine that they urinate down both legs. When you do that, then you've accomplished a lot. We need to shut them off. We need to kill them.
The day would not be complete without Looney Tunes Pelosi saying civilization is in jeopardy if Republicans take the Senate. Of course, the reverse is true. It's because of her that civilization is crashing.
It would be very important for the Democrats to retain control of the Senate. Civilization as we know it today would be in jeopardy
if
the Republicans win the Senate. Fear is a motivator, and we are not fear mongers. The Democrats are messengers of hope, and that's what we will continue to do. But let me say this, because all of the prognostications are predicated on false, ancient, old, stale assumptions. We're in a whole new world of communications now.
Then there's Hillary, not parsing the truth, but she doesn't know what the truth is or what, saying that under Obama's leadership, our country is on the road to recovery. The country's falling apart.
Under President Obama's leadership, our country is on the road to recovery. Now, here in Iowa, for example, exports are up. For farmers, they are way up. Unemployment is down more than 25%
since 2009 to just 4.5% this summer. Renewable energy production has quadrupled in Iowa, which means more jobs and a cleaner environment. And thanks to the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies have been forced to refund more than $1.7 million to Iowa families. But for all the progress we've made, President Obama and the rest of us will be quick to say we still have a lot of work to do.
There's John Kerry again apologizing for Islam and saying, yeah, it doesn't matter if we're at war with ISIS. It's a waste of time to even think about that.
But in terms of Al-Qaeda, which we have used the word war with, yeah, we're at war with Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, and in the same context, if you want to use it, yes, we're at war with ISIL in that sense. But I think it's a waste of time to focus on that. Frankly, let's consider what we have to do to degrade and defeat ISIL, and that's what I'm frankly much more focused on.
We know that Mr. Foley, the journalist whose head was cut off by the practitioners of the religion of peace, well, we all know about that. But here's the White House saying that they never threatened the family of Foley for wanting to negotiate with the terrorists. They're lying, of course.
Boy, as a father myself, I can only imagine that the very difficult circumstances that the Foley and the Salah family are going through. My heart goes out to them. My prayers are with them, obviously. In terms of what was communicated to the families, in the midst of many, many meetings over the course of this very difficult circumstance, we obviously made clear that what the law is. Now, we didn't threaten anybody, but we made clear what the law is. That's our responsibility, is to make sure that we explain the law and uphold the law.
Again, in England, we have the big lie being told, this time by Cameron, saying ISIS are not Muslims, they're monsters.
Islam is a religion of peace. They are not Muslims, they are monsters. They make no secret of their desire to do as much harm, not just in the Middle East, but to any countries or peoples who seek to stand in their way or dare to stand for values that they disagree with.
Well, Mr. Cameron, with all due respect to your office, they believe they're Muslims. Now there's Eric Holder focusing on terrorists and extremists without mentioning Islam or Muslims. How's that going to work?
Today, few threats are more urgent than the threat posed by violent extremism. And with the emergence of groups like ISIL and the knowledge that some Americans are attempting to travel to countries like Syria and Iraq to take part in ongoing conflicts, the Justice Department is responding appropriately. These programs will bring together community representatives, public safety officials, religious leaders, and United States attorneys to improve local engagement to counter violent extremism.
Here's Lindsey Graham, him again, the one Mr. Amnesty saying, Obama must stop ISIS before we all get killed here at home.
To destroy ISIL, you have to kill or capture their leaders, take the territory they hold back, cut off their financing, and destroy their capability to regenerate. This is a war we're fighting. It is not a counterterrorism operation. This is not Somalia. This is not Yemen. This is a turning point in the war on terror. Our strategy will fail yet again. This president needs to rise to the occasion before we all get killed back here at home.
Good job, Lindsey. Even super libs like Roger Cohen at the New York Times are saying the world is falling apart. Of course, they're blaming everyone except themselves and Obama for having created this monster. I want to refer to Stop the Coming Civil War. Warning, civil war. Civil war, warning. And I conclude the book by saying, if only 10% or even 5% of those of you who voted Democratic in the last two elections vote Republican in 2014 and 2016, you might just save this country. That's all in Stop the Coming Civil War. And I have to refer finally in this segment to the last soundbite of the day. This is Carney, Jay Carney, a spokesmouth for Obama, well, a former spokesmouth, saying, this is not going to be a good year for Democrats. I think it's a little too late for that, but nevertheless, here it is.
This is not going to be a good year for Democrats by definition, right? The last time an incumbent president's party did well in a midterm was 2002, which was a very strange midterm in the wake of 9/11. And the sixth year of a presidency is always particularly bad for the president's party. Then you couple that with the fact that so many seats are being defended by Democrats in red states where Mitt Romney did very well against the president, double digits in most cases. And there's no outcome in November that anybody could say would be great for Democrats except for barely holding on to the Senate.
Good night and God bless America.
Savage.